Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. We'd like to read from Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Most all of you know that the book of Nehemiah is a great portion of the book is about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and about Nehemiah while he was the king's cupbearer. He began to hear of the desolation that was in Jerusalem and he wept, he cried, he prayed. And then when he went before the king saw that his countenance was fallen. And so then there began a great work, and it was one of the greatest works that God has ever performed through his people was the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. In fact, I believe that the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem was probably greater than the original building of the walls. It may have even been greater than the building of the temple. The rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem was a great, mighty, marvelous work that God blessed the children of Israel to carry out. The rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. I want to read, just kind of come to the end of the building, first of all. In Nehemiah chapter 6, I want to read verses 15 and 16. The Word of God says, "So the wall was finished." Isn't that a marvelous thing? The wall was finished. Have you ever started something and you never finished what you started? So many times in our lives, we begin something and we start to do something, but we never finish. The Apostle Paul said that he had fought a good fight. He says, "I have finished my course." I think that's one of the most wonderful things that we could ever do is finish what you start. And the Word of God tells us here, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." I want us to think about two things. First of all, I want us to think about that even the enemies of God, even the heathen, that when they saw what had happened, they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Nobody but God, no group of people without the blessings of God could have finished the work that they had finished in 52 days. So they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Have you ever done something in your life that, or are there other things in the Word of God that, when you look at the work that was done and you look at the work that was finished, that you know that it was a work of God? For example, when Noah built the ark, I think that was a work of God. God used Noah and his sons to build the ark, but it was a work. When you think about that ark that was built, the magnitude of the ark, when you think about that they never stopped building, when you think about how the animals went into that ark and they were saved and it was lifted up by the water, when you think about the ark, you have to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that was a work that was wrought of God. It was something that God did. I sometimes hear people say it's a God thing. It's something that was so spectacular that you know God did what we're talking about. I think that even the Trumpet of Truth magazine, not just sticking to things in the Bible, but I believe with all of my heart that the Trumpet of Truth magazine is a work that was wrought by God. Did you know that there has been almost $2 million spent since the Trumpet of Truth began? $2 million. Now, if somebody had told us 30 years ago when we started that work that we were going to that it would take $2 million to accomplish the spreading of the truth, what would we have said? "Oh, we can't do that. $2 million, this is just a little small church. We can't do $2 million worth," but that's about how much has been spent in the past 30 years. That's how much money has been given for the spreading of the truth of salvation by grace. Now, that is a work of God. Whenever there are things that happen in our lives that are of such magnitude that we know, and sometimes we talk about healings, and we know that was a work that was wrought of God. We've seen miracles performed where we could stand back and declare that was a work that was wrought of God. We know that God did that. That's what was declared here about the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. The text says, look again at verse 15. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15 says, so the wall was finished. So the wall was finished. You will never be able to finish a work of this magnitude without God's help. We need God's help in all of our lives. Every one of our lives, the building that we're doing in our lives and in our families and in our homes, the building that you're doing in your life is more important than the building of this wall right here. We're supposed to be building walls in our own lives. And the walls that we're to be building are of greater significance than these walls right here. And I believe, and this is one of the most beautiful and amazing things that God has ever shown to me this week, is the text in this verse where it says, so the wall was finished. What's the first word in that text? So. Now that's a little word, isn't it? So. And in reading the book of Nehemiah this week, that word so began to pop out. It began to pop out on page after page. And there are about 12 times in the book of Nehemiah that the word so is used. As I went back and I began to look at all of those different places where the word so is used, I found that every one of those was a step toward this finality that we read about in Nehemiah 6:15, every one of those other so's is telling you now this is a step that's going to lead to a complete or a finished work. This has to be done. And if you go back, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to look at all 12, but we're going to look at 5 or 6 of the steps that are laid out in the book of Nehemiah, the things that were absolutely necessary for the wall to be finished. God puts the word so in front of every one of those steps. Now that may not amaze you, but it would have if God had showed it to you. I promise you it amazed me. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. That God would inspire, and I believe this is the inspired word of God, that God would put this kind of hidden steps toward a great work. The things that were required to finish this wall are the same things that you and I need in our lives to be able to finish the course that God has given us in our lives. And so if we go back and we begin to look at some of these things that are preceded with this little word so, you're going to see a step-by-step path or an instruction manual that will tell you how to please God in your life and how to finish the work that God has given you to do. And if we will follow these steps, the world will see this was a work that was wrought by God. Go back in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. The Word of God says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. Now, what was Nehemiah's job as a servant, as a slave, and as a person that was in bondage? What was Nehemiah's job? He was the cupbearer. That is, before the king would drink something, Nehemiah would drink it. And if Nehemiah wasn't sick and didn't die, then the king would drink it. And so that's what his job was to be the cupbearer. And there was wine that was brought before the king and gave it unto the king. Now I had not before time been sad in his presence. Verse 2, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherefore the king said to me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? Now, I would have had a list ready right there. And the scripture says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, the king has just asked him, what do you need? And the word of God says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Did you know if you're going to be successful in any work that God gives you to do, if you're going to finish the works that God has given to you to do, it has to begin by you praying to the God of heaven. So, Nehemiah says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. The king asked him, what do you want? And instead of him answering, he prayed to the God of heaven. And then the next verse says, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. He began everything by praying. He prayed to the God of heaven. How important is prayer in your life? How much do you pray? How much do we pray? If we don't spend the time in prayer that we need to be spending in prayer, we need to understand that we will never reach what Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15 says. We will never finish the works that God would have us to do, and we will never do works that people and we can look and say, so this work was wrought by the God of heaven and earth. We'll never experience that unless we are praying as we need to pray. Turn in your Bibles just a moment to the book of Psalms. Did David understand the importance of, so I prayed to the God of heaven? Did David pray? His life was probably as full of prayer as anyone on the face of the earth. Psalm 120 and verse 1 says, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. What's He doing? He's saying, I'm going to pray. I'm praying. What does Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4 say that Nehemiah did? So I prayed unto the God of heaven. Isn't that what David is doing in these Psalms here? Psalm 123 verses 1 and 2, the scripture says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of a servant looked unto the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Psalm 127 and verse 1 says, except the Lord, listen carefully, we're talking about building. And the Word of God says in Psalm 127 verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. David understood the same truth that Nehemiah understood, and that is, if you're ever going to finish the works that God has called upon you to do, if you're ever going to be successful, if you're ever going to do works that people recognize and that you recognize, this is a work that was wrought of the Lord, you're going to have to begin and continue in prayer. So, what's the first so? So I prayed unto the God of heaven. Go back to Nehemiah. Back to Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 11. We'll find the second so. Listen, brethren, this is important. This is your life. This is the way for success. This is the way that you will have victory over the devil and all of his angels if you'll follow these so's. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 11, the Word of God says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. So I came to Jerusalem. Do you see how that is building on so I prayed unto the Lord? So I came. You know, sometimes all we want to do is pray and we're afraid to go forward and do anything, aren't we? Have you ever prayed and you felt like God would have you to do something, but you were afraid to go forward and do what God was leading you to do? Well, Nehemiah says here, so I came to Jerusalem. He came to Jerusalem after he had been praying. He knew that God was sending him to Jerusalem. And so he says, so I came to Jerusalem. God sent me to Jerusalem. Has God sent you to Jerusalem? Has God told you that you need to enter the new Jerusalem? Has God told you that you need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Has God told you that you're to love the church, the house of God? Or are you to come before His presence with singing? Are you to enter into His courts with praise? Are you to come to the house of God? The Word of God says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the house of God as the manner of some is. Nehemiah says, so I came to Jerusalem. Do you need to come? Do you need to come? Do you need to come to Jerusalem? Jesus says, come. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come. What's the first step to getting to... So the wall was finished. What's the first step? So I prayed unto the God of heaven. What's the second step? Come. Put some action into whatever it is that God would have you to do. Don't think that God is going to do the work for you. So many times the people of God want to just pray and ask God to do it for them. The fact is that God will not do for us the things that He gives us the strength and grace and ability to do ourselves. Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven because he knew he couldn't do it by himself. And the second thing he did was he went forward and he came to Jerusalem just like God told him to do. When you come to Jerusalem, what are you using? What part of your body? You're going to use your feet, right? Do we need to use our feet in service to God? Do we need to go places and do things in our service to God? Use your feet. Now look at Nehemiah 2 verse 18. The scripture says in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, that I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, and as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. What do they use in Nehemiah 2:11? What part of their body? They use their feet. What do they use in Nehemiah 2 verse 18? They use their hands. Do you know that your whole body? You remember in the parable of the 10 virgins that there were 5 wise virgins and there were 5 foolish virgins. Those 5 foolish virgins were partially committed to God. But those 5 wise virgins, they went and they carried their lamps, and then what did they carry in the other hand? They carried the vessels of oil in the other hand, so that when the oil ran out of the lamps, they then were able to pour oil back into those lamps. But there were others who just carried lamps, and their lamps ran out of oil. They wanted to hold hands with God with one hand and hold on to the world with the other. I'm telling you, brethren, we have to be totally committed to God if we're going to do works that are pleasing to God. If we're going to finish the things that God would have us to do, we have to have our feet and our hands. And what else would you say would be the most important part other than your feet and your hands? Your brain or your mind. Thank you, Brother David. What's the first thing they did? So they prayed to the God of heaven. What's the second thing that they did? They came to Jerusalem. They used their feet. What's the third thing they did? They strengthened their hands. Now look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Word of God says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a what? The people had a mind to work. The first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. And that's what the children of Israel are doing here. That's what Nehemiah is doing. He came. He used his feet. They strengthened their hands. And they had a mind to work. And that's the reason they're eventually going to get to Nehemiah 6:15. So the wall was finally finished. The people had a mind to work. Now look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 18. Nehemiah chapter 4, was there a word, the word so in verse 6 of Nehemiah 4? Isn't that amazing? That just shocked me beyond measure as I kept finding these so's, that every one of them is another step towards getting the work done. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 18, the Word of God says, "For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded." He so builded because he had his sword by his side. Now, what does that sword tell us that we have to have? We have to have the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 6. We have to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You cannot finish the works that God has given you to do individually or as a family or as a church unless we begin by, "So I prayed unto the Lord." Unless we're also going to commit our hands, our feet, our minds to doing the work. And we're going to work hard. And then the Scripture says here, they builded the wall because they had the sword. Every man had the sword girded on his side. That means it was attached to him. Brethren, we have to follow the Word of God in all that we do, or else the work will not be finished and pleasing to God. God will not help us finish the work if we don't follow the Word of God. The reason that the wall was finally finished is part of the reason. One step of them getting the wall finished was for every one of them to have the sword girded by their side. Not only must we follow the Word of God, that's what the sword of the Spirit is, the Word of God. Not only must we follow the Word of God, but it's that sword of the Spirit. Let me ask you this. Why did these people need a sword? Why did these builders, literally, why did these builders need a sword? Literally. Yes, you're all correct. Couldn't hear any of it, but I'm sure you were all correct. They all needed a sword because they had enemies that were going to attack them, and they needed a sword as a defense weapon. They needed a sword as an offense weapon. And the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is the only thing we have that will defeat the devil every time he attacks us when we're trying to build the things that God would have us to build. When you're trying to finish the work that God has given you to do, you have to use the Word of God to fight against the devil. The devil will attack you. The devil hates you. And the only way you can win the battle is by the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted, what did He use? Pulled out that sword every time. "It is written. It is written. It is written." And Jesus finished. What did Jesus say when He hung on the cross of Calvary? He said, "It is finished." And that's the greatest work that has ever been finished. That's the most glorious work that has ever been finished. But I want you to know that if you go through the life of Jesus and you study His life, you'll find that everything that led up to Him finishing the work that God gave Him to do, that it's all laid forth here in the book of Nehemiah. He prayed. He came. Did He come? Did He strengthen His hands? Was his mind in the work? Did he have the sword girded by his side? Look at Nehemiah chapter 6 now. One more so. And there's six more so's. So if you ever want to hear the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey says, they're all there. There's six more so's in the book of Nehemiah. Go home and study them. Listen, Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 1. "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Gershom and Geshem sent unto me, saying, 'Come and let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me mischief, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, 'I'm doing a great work, so that I cannot come down.'" You hear it? You hear that important point? You've got to stick to the work. "So that I cannot come down. So that I refuse, no matter who or what tries to get me away from the work of God. I have to always keep saying and declaring and rebelling against that would lead me away from the work of God and saying, 'So I cannot come down.'" Why should I, listen to the rest of this expression. He says, "Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you?" Have you ever just stopped doing what God would have you to do to go do some insignificant work? You know, I think one of the things that just makes me want to slap myself in the face sometimes is I'll be praying and the phone rings. And guess what I sometimes do? Answer the telephone. You know what I do every time that I do that? I get down off the wall. Here I was up on the wall doing the work that I needed to do right then. But Sanballat and Tobiah called, and I came down off the wall. We cannot finish the work. We cannot finish the wall. We cannot finish the building. We cannot finish our course unless we sow. Unless we sow, and unless we sow, and unless we sow. Do you see the sequence that's followed all the way through? God's Word is amazing, brethren. It's beautiful. It's amazing that God would, in His infinite wisdom and power, that He would construct a little book like this and then whisper in your ear and say, look at this. Look at the little word so. The little word so doesn't seem like a very significant word, does it? In fact, in writing, Sister Cheryl, what do they usually tell you about using the word so in writing? Don't use the word so too much. That's a English grammar rule. Don't you use the word so too much. Maybe the devil made up that rule. Because in the Word of God, the word so is used quite a bit, especially in the book of Nehemiah. And every one of them is like, every one of these is like a gold star beside that verse. Every one of these so's is like a gold star saying, this is important. Look at it. It's a step toward you finishing the wall. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.